the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Again, that's referring to David. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. And then let's jump down to verse 36. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And as far as that word Christ means, it's the anointed one, or the Messiah. That's who Jesus Christ is. And so Peter is laying the groundwork here for Israel to believe Jesus Christ was all that he claimed to be. And if they would believe that, if they would repent of what they have done to him, God promises them, I will send Jesus Christ back. And he will come again, like he told his disciples. He will set up his kingdom here on earth for Israel. Up to this point in the scriptures, there's nothing addressed about the day that we live in right now. It's all about Israel and their kingdom, and that's not for us. Let's go to Acts chapter 3 and verse 13. Again, you won't find any good news in this for the world. Acts chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, so there he is talking strictly to Jewish people once more, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And so again, he's referring to that time over a period of 40 days when after the crucifixion and the resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to these apostles and other believers in the Messiah. Let's go to Acts chapter 4 and verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and the elders of Israel. See his audience again? It's all to Israel about this Messiah. He goes on to say, If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him do this man stand here before you whole. Again, throughout this early part of the book of Acts, it's a crime that Israel has committed. Let's go to Acts chapter 5 and verse 30. Acts chapter 5, beginning with verse 30. The God of our fathers, that's talking about the God of Israel. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him God hath exalted with his right hand, and look at what he is there for, to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. That's what his purpose was in all of this. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Now it's important to understand that the scriptures teach, and I believe it, I assume you believe it, that there was going to be Gentile salvation through the Messiah. But it would come through the rising of Israel. When Israel is established again in their kingdom, the Gentiles will then have opportunity to come into that kingdom. But right at the present time, the whole dealing at this post-resurrection period is to the restoration and repentance of Israel. And we're going to find out, we know already, that that's not going to happen, though. They're going to resist it, and ultimately God's going to shut the door for the present time on their opportunity to have the kingdom. Let's go to Acts chapter 7. And this is Stephen. He's just in the process, if not just about to be, he's in the process of being stoned. And he said, Acts 7:56, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." When they heard that, they gnashed their teeth. Remember, we see God is now, or the Lord Jesus Christ is now seated at the right hand of God. But here he's standing at the right hand of God because in the timetable for Israel, the next thing to occur is the return of the Messiah in judgment, the great tribulation period when God is going to judge the earth. And so when Stephen said he sees the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is ready to come back to bring judgment against Israel. And they couldn't stand to hear that. They gnashed their teeth and they stoned Stephen as a result. And then one more reference to the apostles in Acts chapter 10 and verse 39. "And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead." And so, all the scriptures, all the revelation we have in the Bible up to this point of time indicates that the Messiah's mission is for the redemption of Israel. It was all prophesied. It was all in the book. And this is exactly the way God had laid it out. And that Christ had been murdered, but God raised him from the dead. And now if Israel will respond positively to the preaching of these apostles, God will send Christ back to set up the promised kingdom. Let's go back to Acts chapter 3 and beginning with verse 19. Acts chapter 3 and beginning with verse 19. "Repent ye therefore, and be converted." And again, this is Peter talking to Israel. "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." And so there is still something else that must happen at this point before Christ can come back. And that's the fulfillment of all the things that God has spoken by his prophets. That's the 70th week of Daniel's vision. And with that 70th week being fulfilled, then Christ will come back, and all things will be restituted, or however it's worded here, until the times of restitution of all things. And Christ will restore all things back to Israel, and they will have their kingdom. But as we well know, Israel's leaders refused it. They rejected it flat out, and they killed the apostles, and they killed the prophets, and all of that. And so God is now going to do something that is not found any place in the scriptures up to this point. Not one hint about what's going to happen now. And so the resurrected, ascended, and exalted Christ is going to be seen by one more person that wasn't in any of those groups that were ever mentioned by Peter. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we'll begin with verse 3 here for today. Now we're reading from a man by the name of Paul. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. This is one of the most frustrating things in preaching, is that you want to teach everything every time because there's always a few people that haven't heard some of these things. But it's so important to understand that if you study the Scriptures, which is sadly and woefully lacking today, people are believers, professed believers in Jesus Christ, as I mentioned earlier, are woefully ignorant about the Apostle Paul and his message and his ministry. And so they've been preached to and taught all about the kingdom truth. And they've never been shown the truth for today, which is the church, the body of Christ, that is virtually unrelated to the gospel of the kingdom. And the only thing that they share is the common sacrifice of Christ. But anyway, let's go back here now and read this. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. He received it from the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians tells us about that. He wasn't taught it, neither did he learn it, but by revelation from Christ, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again according to the Scriptures. And then here comes His post-resurrection appearances. And that He was seen of Cephas, or Peter, then of the 12. After that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remains unto the present, but some are fallen asleep. When Paul's writing this, the vast majority of the people he's talking about are still alive. Go check with them if you want to. And then he says this, after that. Now here's one that wasn't in that group. Everything we've read about prior to today, this person wasn't in that. After that, wait a second. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And then verse 8 is the one I'm getting to. And last of all, some 4 or 5 years later maybe, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. It wasn't planned this way. It wasn't the way that God had laid it out in the Scriptures. This was something that was a secret. It wasn't through the redemption of Israel or anything like that that Paul came to Christ. It was abnormally or out of the schedule. And that's what makes it so different. God is now going to make a plan known that He had ordained before He ever created the world. And He's going to reveal it to the Apostle Paul. And it's a new gospel, a gospel that's not ever spoken about any place else in Scripture. It's called the gospel of the grace of God. And its primary recipients are going to be Gentiles, which just blows the mind of all the Jews. They cannot fathom that God can deal with these dogs this way. And so when Paul starts preaching his marvelous gospel, the Jews go right around behind him and say, well, all right, Paul, they can get saved, but they got to get circumcised. They got to keep the law. They got to become like us. They got to be a Jew. That's not the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of the grace of God is that Jesus Christ has become everything to a believer in Jesus Christ. All that we have comes to us through the person of Jesus Christ by the pure, unadulterated grace of God. We deserve none of it. We can earn none of it. We can accomplish none of it. That's the gospel of grace. That gospel is alien to the whole Bible apart from Paul. any place else in the Bible. If you're going to be a child of God, you must come by grace, you must come by faith, and you must do something else. You must get circumcised, you must get baptized, you must keep the law, you must do something else. That's not the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of the grace of God is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Period. That's it. There are no yeah buts or ands. It is by grace through faith alone, and that's not found any place else in the Scriptures. Search as you can. Every place else in the Scripture, if you were going to be a believer in God, God gave you instructions. Adam had instructions. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, we're given further instructions, but it doesn't have anything to do with our salvation. Our salvation is a marvelous gift from God. I just read a tract just the other day. I picked it up, and what I'm sharing with you by this person was called a great blasphemy. That don't ever buy into that cheap grace story, that it's by grace through faith alone. How sad it is that people are not, and it all comes down to the one truth. I'm telling you over and over again, you cannot emphasize enough. You must rightly divide, Paul says, the word of truth. If you do not see the difference between God's dealings with Israel and God's dealings with the church, the body of Christ, if you don't see the difference between the gospel of law, the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the Old Testament, versus the gospel of the grace of God, if you do not see those distinctions, you'll be totally confused and misled. You may be totally sincere in all that you believe, but if you cannot support it through right division of the word of truth, it will not be valid for today. And I am so amazed and aghast that so many people can quote the Scriptures and not know what they say. Just like the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch that was reading it, and Philip says to him, "Understand what thou readest?" And he says, "How shall I without a teacher?" He knew what it said, but he didn't understand it. These apostles, when they walked with Christ, they knew what he said. They didn't understand it. We today have the full revelation of the Word of God, and we can understand it by His grace. And it is by grace through faith, apart from anything else. There's nothing else involved. There's no more yah buts and ands or anything else. Now, when we get into living the Christian life, that adds a little more to it. But that's the second step. Our salvation is a closed capsule. And so anyway, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ appeared to the Apostle Paul, and he's going to make a revelation, he's going to reveal a plan or a purpose of his that he'd kept secret through the whole Bible. That's what Paul says at least 3 or 4 times, that these things were hidden in God, in Christ. They were not made known. They're not back here. Now, if you're talking about Israel's future, that's made known in the new covenant. But what's happening today is not hid in the old and revealed in the new. What's happening today was revealed to Paul, and it wasn't hid any place but in God. It wouldn't have been a secret. And why was that important? Well, let's look one place. In giving this revelation to Paul, it was so glorious, it was so magnificent that God had to keep it a secret. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7. First Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse 7. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." And remember, that word mystery simply means in a secret, or in a way in which nobody could ever know it unless God made it known. He unveiled this secret. "Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world." God had planned this before he ever created the world. "Unto our glory." Unto the glory of those who are alive today as believers in Jesus Christ. This is what God has ordained this secret for. And then he goes on to say this, which none of the princes of this world knew. They couldn't know it because it wasn't made known. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now that's pretty strong, pretty powerful. That if the princes of this world would have known about the marvelous gospel of the grace of God, they would not have crucified Christ. But as it is written, and listen to this, let it sink in. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You know, a lot of people are talking a lot about how the kingdom here on earth is going to be. And they are a little confused because they see us being in this kingdom. But there's no place in Scripture that really teaches the church, the body of Christ, is going to be in this kingdom. Paul, in all of his teaching, gives us no intimation whatsoever that we're going to be spending time here in this earth ministering with Israel. Israel is going to be a nation of priests ministering to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles, as wonderful as it'll be to be redeemed, will not hold the same place in the kingdom as Israel does. We don't have a part in that relationship. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our home is there. Our future bodies are there. All of those things are waiting for us. And when Paul was caught up to the third heaven, he saw things that was not legal for him to utter. He wouldn't even be able to tell us about them. Nobody really knows what heaven's going to be like with what little bit revelation we have right here, that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. We have a future for us that is out of this world. It's indescribable. And there's just nobody that knows what's going to be like. So when somebody tells you, well, I was in heaven for 5 minutes, or something like that, then that's not what the Word teaches. Anyway, that's our glorious future as believers. And this purpose of God that He has for those of us today, He had ordained before He created the world. He promised it to His Godhead, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit collaborated on all of this for us. For the future, he kept it secret till he revealed it to Paul. And now the gospel is so simple, and religion confounds it. It's by grace that you're saved through faith, and that alone. Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. Believe that. Trust in it for yourself, and God gives you the gift of eternal life. That's the marvelous gospel of grace. And so for every person that has experienced that, I don't know if you've experienced this, but it's a fact, you have already been resurrected spiritually. Every believer in Jesus Christ has been raised up and seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. Now, did you feel that when it happened? Did you know it happened even when it happened? I didn't, but I now know it. That my whole existence is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything outside of that is irrelevant today. But anyway, let's look at just a couple of verses and then we're going to have to close for today. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12:13, because this is where it all begins for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. First Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now that's a declarative, indicative sentence. The moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God baptizes you into the body of Christ, and that now is your existence. You are identified in Christ. And that's why God can look at you today, no matter what you've ever done, no matter what you are presently doing, no matter what you may ever do, And God will only see you in the person of Jesus Christ. Holy, righteous, perfect, without blame, flawless forever. That's the gospel of grace. The gospel of anything else is yeah, but. Anything else is yeah, but. It's not in the scriptures for us today. Now, should we live holy lives? Definitely. But it doesn't impact who we are in Christ. God has a purpose for every one of our lives, and He has assured us that He's working in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. He has assured us that He is faithful and He will do it. He has assured us that He has ordained these good works in Christ. It's all taken care of by God. And what do? Walk by faith, not by sight, believing and trusting in a sovereign God who loves us to that depth that He would give His Son while we were yet sinners to die for us. And then all of this leads us to this declaration called justification by faith. Now God sees every believer in Jesus Christ righteous in His sight. Even though I see myself in my flesh, in my old nature, in my behavior, a scumbag, God sees me righteous. Not because of anything in myself, but because of the righteousness of His Son, who has been made my righteousness. That's the marvelous gospel of the grace of God. And so that's how you experience your spiritual resurrection. The moment you put your faith in Christ, God baptized you through the Spirit into Christ. The Spirit of God baptized you, and He gave you that Spirit as the seal. Let's go to just a couple more verses, and then we'll call it. Ephesians 2:4. I think we often focus on the physical resurrection more so because we're earthly, physical, human beings, and especially at this stage of life for a lot of us, we're tired of this life. We're tired of the pain, the suffering, the tribulation, all that. Even though there's a wonderful lot of joy in our lives and everything else, my body hurts a lot. I've had 2 good nights' sleep in the last 3 weeks probably because of pain. I mean, that's the way of all flesh. And so we focus on being delivered from this physical pain and this anguish that we all experience. But that's not the best part. The best part has already occurred. We've been spiritually resurrected. Let's look here now in Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. That is the spiritual resurrection. God has given us His life. We've been raised up now in His life. And then He goes on to say, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. That's a past tense verb. It's already done. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That's why the Apostle Paul tells us in Colossians 3, set your affections on things above and not on the things of this earth. Set your affections on the marvelous truths of your spiritual resurrection. And then the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. Let's hurry up. 6:4, Romans 6:4. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we are buried by Him, with Him, by baptism into death. Now, when did that happen? When you put your faith in Jesus Christ. That's when you were baptized. And with that baptism, you were baptized with Christ into His death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's what He's talking about. We should be walking in the newness of our spiritual resurrection. That's what Paul talks about when he says in Philippians, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, being made conformable unto his sufferings, and being even to the point of his death, that he might attain to the resurrection. He's talking about this spiritual resurrection, that we might live like we're already physically resurrected, that we don't let the claws and the hooks of this life hold us in an earthly thought pattern, but instead we rejoice with the riches of God's grace moment by moment. So whenever what looks like the end of the world for us, it doesn't even impact us, because we have our thoughts set on the spiritual realm where we exist in Christ. And so, not that those things aren't real in our lives, but they shouldn't throw us all over our life. We should be able to keep our focus on the goal and the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus our Lord. One more and then I'll quit. It's hard to quit because there's so much stuff here. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. Again, I say this, and I don't mean to be unduly unkind or critical, but how sad it is that man has replaced a physical ritual in place of these marvelous spiritual truths concerning our spiritual resurrection. So in Colossians 2:12, buried with him in baptism. I've mentioned this in the past. When you hear baptism as a believer in Jesus Christ, your first thought should go to the moment you trusted Christ, when you were baptized into him. That's what this word is talking about. It has nothing whatsoever to do with the Jewish ritual of water baptism. Here it is buried with him in baptism, buried with him when you trusted Christ, wherein also ye are risen with him. That's a past tense. And it, you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. That's your spiritual resurrection. And so we're going to have to quit for today. And there's still so much more. We didn't even get to the physical resurrection. But I want you to know, and I think most already know, there's a day coming when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come down in the clouds. And remember, this is all part of Paul's mystery, secret. It's not found any place in Scripture. It's not found. Christ never talked about our resurrection that we will experience. He talked about the resurrection to go into the kingdom, the resurrection to stand on this earth and to live on this earth. That's not what we're going to be made for. We'll probably continue this next week a little bit just to close it. But we have been raised up to be representatives, ambassadors of Christ with the ministry of reconciliation to take to a world. And I am becoming, as I think about this, you know, a lot of people say, well, you talk too much about Paul, or you emphasize Paul, or whatever. Yes, I do. I don't talk too much. You can't talk too much. I'm not talking about Paul. I'm talking about the revelation that Jesus Christ gave to Paul. And that revelation is the gospel of the grace of God, and we can't talk about that too much. Nobody can be saved today apart from the gospel of salvation found there. That Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And that's it. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just are overwhelmed with joy, amazement, awe, and thanksgiving for your amazing grace, and for the fact that you have illumined our hearts and opened our eyes that we could see the glory of Christ in that cross. That even though when it occurred it was a crime, it was murder, it was rebellion, for us today it's become the good news and the preaching of that cross. And so we praise you and thank you for this marvelous revelation of the gospel of your grace. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.